Next East Hour, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Vallet. This is Rudy Vallet and Company. And company this evening includes Miss Virginia Say, comedian sister of Chick Say, Blossom Seeley and Benny Fields in a new song drama called All Around the Town, Lou Holtz with another consignment of strictly high-class stuff, and Miss Wynne Gibson, picture star, in a dramatization of Ring Lardner's famous short story, The Love Nest. Will you repeat, James? Among those present are...
Virginia Say, Blossom Seeley, Benny Fields, Lou Holtz, and Wynne Gibson.
Virginia Sayer, writer and comedian, sister of the famous comedy star, Chick Sayer. Virginia recently returned east in Hollywood, where for the past few years, she has appeared in pictures and on the air. She'll be seen in New York this season in a new review. She has prepared for us tonight a comedy romance in monologue form called Promenade Deck. All the parts are taken by Miss Virginia Sayer. Promenade deck, the SS Megantic, homeward bound after a Mediterranean cruise. It is the last night of the voyage, a night marvelously well supplied with moonlight. A boy and a girl are alone on deck, watching the moon's reflection in the calm sea and listening to the music of an orchestra in the nearby ballroom.
Oh, this is better. You don't mind my dragging you out here, do you, Ronald? I simply couldn't stand that stuffy ballroom another minute. What a gorgeous moon. You know, I can't believe we'll be back in New York tomorrow morning. The time has gone so quickly. Oh, well, I'm glad I met you, Ronald. Oh, you're sweet to say that. Thank you. Well, I think you look rather handsome yourself tonight, dear. And just think, after tomorrow, we'll each begin to forget what the other looks like. Ronald, just look at those two stars right up there. All alone in the sky, just as you and I are alone on this long white deck.
Oh, Ronnie, I've been looking everywhere for you.
Oh, hello, Alice.
Oh, hello. Ronnie, you bad boy. You must be all mixed up. Wasn't this our dance?
It wasn't.
Well, you were going to dance two dances with me all last night on board. You and I certainly have had the worst time getting together today. You didn't feel well enough to go for a swim, and you had lunch early, and then I waited and waited for you to come and play deck tennis. You're always so polite to everybody, Ronnie. I suppose you just can't get away from some folks to be with the folks you really want to be with. But I guess you and I can have this next dance together anyway. I had it with Freddie Wilson, but I haven't seen him anywhere. Oh, he was? When? Just a minute ago? Well, yes, I guess I'd better go look for him. I'll see you all later.
Oh, Ronald, do you mind letting me have a bit of your coat? It's getting rather chilly out here. Oh, there. That's better. I like that music. With my eyes wide open, I'm dreaming. It's lovely, isn't it? Ronald, what was it you said you wanted to tell me tonight?
Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Brumford.
Land sake, you two will catch your death of cold out here. My, I'll sure be glad to get back home to Peoria. My folks thought they were sending me on a rest tour, but sure, with that music a-banging and folks carousing around all night, it's awful hard for a body to get any sleep. Well, everybody's saying goodbye this evening. They're even kissing the officers goodbye. I just noticed that highfalutin Mrs. Jordan kissing the first mate. Sure, she kissed him three or four times. I reckon her husband must be seasick again. Well, I expect I'd better go and try to get some sleep. Miss Blair, I should think you'd have a chill standing there in that dress with no sleeves, no back to it. Good night, Mr. Kirkwood. You're certainly popular with the old ladies, Ronald.
You're always so sweet to everyone. That's one reason why I like you. Why, yes, of course I do. A great deal. But I haven't always been sure that you like me. You do? Very much. Very, very much.
Heavens, what lazy people you two are, wasting a bracing night like this. A grand chance to get some real good exercise. Why don't you join me in a turn around the deck? You see, I always walk around 6 times before going to bed, 5 times in the morning, and 4 after lunch. That makes 15 times a day. And 15 days on this cruise makes 225 times around this deck. I doubt if anyone else in the ship has a record like that. You won't join me? Very well. Goodbye, then. Good luck.
Goodbye. What were you saying, Ronald? Was it something about the music? Oh, listen, I like that piece. Couldn't we dance it out here?
Oh, I love dancing with you, Ronald.
Oh, you're holding me very tight.
Why?
Oh, Ronald, dear.
Oh, there you are, you two.
Oh, good evening, Miss Clifford.
I just knew I'd find you two in love there out here in the moonlight. I've been telling everybody on board I expected a wedding any day. I think you're a perfectly stunning couple. Oh, there, now I know I'm making Mr. Kirkwood blush. He's such a shy young man, isn't he, Miss Blair? And Mr. Kirkwood, doesn't she look just too sweet? Anybody can tell she's dressed up in her very prettiest just to please you this last night on board. Well, I'm just buzzing about telling everybody goodbye, and if I don't see you two again before we land, be sure you send me your wedding announcement. Goodbye, you two.
What are we talking about, Ronald? You say it's not a bad idea she had. Why, what do you mean? Really send her our wedding announcement? Why, Ronald, dear, are you really proposing?
Ronnie, where are you? I can't find Freddie anywhere, Ronnie.
Ronald, darling, let's go into the ballroom where we can be alone together.
I always used to feel it a bit sacrilegious to attempt to play certain saxophone solos which only my idol Rudy Weedoff could play. Likewise, I feel like a fish out of water when I attempt to sing a song which has probably become known to you through the voice of Bing Crosby. Nevertheless, its publishers have asked if we include it, and as it is a great Gordon Revel song, we do so. I'm humming, I'm singing, I'm whistling. through the day, I'm nervous, I'm restless, I'm fidgety, waiting for the day to hurry, hurry, hurry by. I kinda like the evening, oh, give me a crimson sky. When the sun is low, I'm riding high. Mm-hmm, I'm humming, cause my daily work is through. And I know that night is coming, a night will find me arm in arm with you. I'm whistling, looking at a lovely moon. When the stars above are glistening, I'm as tickled as a baby with a toy balloon. La-da-da-da-da, I'm singing, happy as a boy can be. Cause I see you right there waiting underneath the usual tree for two. If you wonder why I'm humming, if you wonder why I'm whistling, if you wonder why I'm singing, well, I'm singing and I'm humming and I'm whistling all the day, cause I'm on my way to you. Doc? Little love ballad depicting the thought that might run through the mind of any lonely and miserable newly wedded husband separated for the first time from his wife. The past 2 weeks have brought forth from so many of you a request for a repetition that we offered again tonight. Johnny Mercer's latest, a fresh and different lyric with a melody by Gordon Jenkins. P.S. I love you. Same things happen every day. Not a thing to write, not a thing to say. So I take my pen in hand and start the same old way. Dear, I thought I'd drop a line. The weather's cool, the folks are fine. I'm in bed each night at nine. Yes, I love you. Yesterday we had some rain, but on the whole, I can't complain. Was it dusty on the train? Yes, I love you. Ride to the Browns just as soon as you're able. They came around to call. I burned a hole in the dining room table. Now let me see, I guess that's all. Nothing more for me to say. I'd better close, but by the way, everybody's thinking of you. Yes, I love you. Blossom Seeley and Benny Field. Perhaps you recall the two previous song productions programmed here by Benny and Blossom, their Harlem Rhapsody and Broadway Thieves. For tonight's show, they've constructed a song drama called all around the town. The locale, a sightseeing bus at Broadway and 42nd Street, New York City. The conductor is Benny. Blossom is one of the many passengers. All around the town with Benny Fields and Blossom Cedar.
Come on right this way, see New York for 50 cents. Chinatown, the Bowery, the Empire State Building, Grant's Tomb, the Aquarium. Fares, please. Fares, please. Here we go. Right down Broadway, folks, on our way through Greenwich Village. Once New York's bohemian artistic center, many quaint bookstores.
Antique shops, studios, artists, but no Mickey Mouse.
Hey, wait a minute. You know this town pretty well.
Well, I ought to. I've been making this trip to Charlie for 3 years. His bus was late tonight. I don't wait for no man. I'm going to make this little trip with you.
Thanks, Tut. And now, folks, we're on our way to Chinatown, the home of Chuck Connors and Big Jack Sirocco. Hey, friends, I'll never forget the night I walked into Jack's Cafe and saw Irving Berg.
Hey, that's the fellow who wrote, I never had a chance. I thought you cared.
Oh, sister, you can sing.
Well, pardon my southern accent. I've been singing all my life.
Says you.
Says me.
Well, so much for that. As I was saying, folks, Irving Berlin. I can see him right now, seated at the piano, little dreaming.
But someday he'd set the whole world dancing to the tune of, come on along, come on along, the Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Come on along. Come on along, say it's the best band in the land. And if you want to hear that Swanee River playing ragtime, come on and hear Alexander's Ragtime Band play music.
Alexander's Ragtime Band, wow, wow.
Well, folks, we're on our way up to the east side, up to Park Avenue. Let's get started, Joe. It's only a stone's throw from Fifth Avenue, friends. Only a stone's throw. But it depends upon what direction. Park Avenue, friends.
Park Avenue, Park Avenue. Really, dear. Really, we should dine at the Ritz. And it'll be too divine. Waiter, waiter, please, waiter. A bit of caviar, cream of mushroom soup, some filet of sole, and don't forget the tartar sauce. Good old tartar sauce. A plate of corned beef and cabbage, cottage fried potatoes, coconut custard pie, some coffee, and waiter, no sugar in my coffee. I'm on a diet.
Come on, sister. Come on, sister. Snap out of it. Snap out of it. You don't belong here.
Oh, yeah? Well, the only difference between Park Avenue and Broadway is that little bit of rhythm.
Says you.
Says I.
Listen.
In some secluded rendezvous that overlooks the avenue with someone shouting a little chat about this and that and cocktails.
Well, let's get started, Joe. Well, here we go again, folks. It's uptown this time, on our way to Harlem. And there's the Cotton Club. Look at it. The place that made Cab Calloway, Duke Ellington, and Louis Armstrong famous. Right here is 135th Street, folks. And right here is
Lenox Avenue, up near that Bronx. Say, folks, are never blue, but black is onyx. Well, Lulu Bell ladies are hotter than Haiti.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! They got real babies walk along with their rhythm in their thighs, in their hips, in their lips, and in their eyes. Where do they find the love that satisfies underneath that Harlem?
Well, I know you'd like to linger in Harlem. So would I, but we've got to get going. Let's get started, Joe. On to the west side. To the right, we have Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, I know that spiel. It's the same one Charlie uses.
Oh, yeah? And to the left, we have...
Wait a minute.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute here. Anybody on this bus see that woman shot across the street?
Oh, what's the matter? I don't know. Officer, I didn't see the shooting, but I know who she is.
Oh, yeah? Well, tell me something about her. Who is she? What's her name?
They call her Frivolous Sam, a peculiar sort of a girl. She was a wild sort of devil, but dead on the level was my girl. Was the lady known as Sam?
Well, if nobody saw the shooting, come on, get going. Drive along there.
Step on it, Joe. And now back to where we started from. 42nd Street, the heart of the world.
Hear the beat of dancing feet.
It's the song I love, the melody of
42nd Street. Come on and hear the beat of those dancing feet.
Oh, on the avenue that I'm taking you to.
On 42nd Street, they got little nifties from the 50s, innocent and sweet. They got sexy ladies right down from the 80s, and they are in the street.
But side by side, you find them glorified, where the underworld can meet that elite.
On 42nd Street.
Just the trail of a Salvation lassie, who walks with the Lord to and fro.
The trail of a frail taxi dancer, who walks with her big gigolo.
It's a busy, dizzy panoramic view, a melting pot of dreams that won't come true.
First nighters, songwriters, prize fighters, death fighters, sisters, pocketbook sisters,
taxi cabs, sorry cars, chorus girls, picture stars, auction sales, ballyhoo, headlines shouting out the news, extra. That's all about a big murder, late edition, just out extra.
That's the big parade that goes on for years and years. It's a rhapsody of laughter and tears.
It's haughty, gaudy, it's naughty, and it's sporty.
Everybody out, folks. This is where we started from. Step lively. Everybody out.
Well, so long, big boy. I'll be seeing you again. And I'll meet you tomorrow night right on the corner of 42nd
You are listening to the Fleischman Geist Hour, broadcast from the Variety Theater in Radio City under the direction of Rudy Vallee. Rudy presents Lou Holt, Wynn Gibson, Blossom Seeley, Benny Fields, and Virginia Sale.
Wading through several books containing musty folk songs of yesterday, I came across this one, which appealed to me because it seemed to offer a good chance for a community type of singing response from the audience. Our playing of it at Manhattan Beach recently justified that belief when many of the younger folks close to the band platform voluntarily echoed the words in the proper place. When I asked them at the intermission why they did so, their reply was not that they had heard the song, but that they merely felt impelled to respond at that point. Therefore, we have decided to make it a regular part of our repertoire. The Drunkard's Song, or Fare Thee Well, for I Must Leave Thee. There is a tavern in the town.
In the town.
And there my true love sits him down.
Sits him down.
And drinks his wine as merry as can be. And never, never thinks of me. Fare thee well, for I must leave thee. Do not let the parting grieve thee. Oh, the time has come for you and I to say goodbye. Adieu, adieu, kind friends, adieu.
Yes, adieu.
I can no longer stay with you.
Stay with you.
Oh, I'll hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. Fare thee well, fare thee well, fare thee well. He left me for a damsel dark.
Damsel dark.
Each Friday night they used to spark.
Used to spark.
Oh, and now my love, who once was true to me, takes that dark damsel on his knee. Fare thee well, for I must leave thee. Do not let the parting grieve thee. Oh, the time has come for you, and I do say goodbye. Adieu. Adieu, kind friends, adieu.
Yes, adieu.
I can no longer stay with you.
Stay with you.
Oh, I'll hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. Fare thee well, fare thee well, fare thee well. I see him nevermore.
Nevermore.
He never knocks upon my door.
On my door.
Woe is me. He penned a little note. I'll read to you the words he wrote. Fare thee well, for I must leave thee. Do not let the parting grieve thee. Oh, the time has come for you and I to say goodbye. Adieu, adieu, kind friends, adieu.
Yes, adieu.
Oh, I can no longer stay with you.
Stay with you.
Oh, I'll hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. Fare thee well, fare thee well, fare thee well. Oh, dig my grave both wide and deep.
Wide and deep.
Put tombstones at my head and feet.
Head and feet.
Oh, and on that stone, just carve a turtle dove to signify that I died for love. Fare thee well, for I must leave thee. Do not let the parting leave thee. Oh, the time has come for you and I to say goodbye. Adieu, adieu, kind friends, adieu.
Yes, adieu.
I can no longer stay with you.
Stay with you.
Oh, I'll hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. Fare thee well, fare thee well, fare thee well. Our leading lady tonight, a visitor from Hollywood, Miss Wynn Gibson. Miss Gibson is currently in the new George M. Cohan picture being made at Astoria. She comes to our stage tonight directly from the movie set, still in camera makeup. You saw Miss Gibson most recently in I Give My Love and in Aggie Appleby. Tonight you will hear her in a dramatic version of a famous short story by the late Ring Lardner, The Love Nest. She is assisted by Homer Barton and Harold Vermeer. May I introduce Miss Wynn Gibson. Our scene, the vastly magnificent reception hall of the vastly magnificent home of Mr. Lou Gregg, a vastly magnificent motion picture producer. Gregg, played by Mr. Barton, has as his guest an interviewer for a magazine. As the curtain rises, Gregg and the journalist have just entered.
Well, here we are. How do you like it? Quite a shack, eh?
I should say so.
Well, it ought to be. I mean, I've spent enough on it. I mean, these things cost money. Here, sit down.
Yeah, thanks.
No amount of money is too much to spend on a home, I always say. I mean, it's a good investment. Ensures me of a happy wife and family. You know, Celia calls this her love nest.
Oh, really?
I mean, what more can a man ask? Forbes. Oh, Forbes.
Yes, sir?
Forbes, we want a drink. You'll find a full bottle of that bourbon in the cupboard.
It's only half full, sir.
Half full? That's funny. I mean, I opened it last night and just took one drink. I mean, it ought to be full.
It's half full now, sir.
Anyway, it's good stuff, Bartlett.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, this ain't the first time lately. When you keep so many servants, it's hard to get them all honest. You see what I mean?
Yes, I see. Well, will Mrs. Gregg be joining us here? No, I want to meet her, too.
Sure, sure. The little wife makes a point of always being home when I get in from the studio. I'll call her now. Oh, sweetheart. Come on down, sweetheart. I brought you a visitor. You'll see, Bartlett. You'll be able to get a lot more for your write-up by meeting the wife and family. I mean, that'll give you a chance to see us as we really are. Not like as if you sat in the office asking me questions. Why, we may even go upstairs later to see my kiddies. You'll love them.
Huh. Two girls, isn't it?
Yes, sir, two girls. Terrific, both of them. And my wife, did you ever see her?
Sure.
I mean, in pictures.
Oh, yes, in the cab. I remember her as a pretty and vivacious girl.
She certainly was, and she is yet. I mean, she's even prettier. But, of course, she ain't a kid no more. I mean, she was only 17 in that picture, and that was 5 years ago. But it's remarkable the way marriage changes a girl.
Yes.
I mean, who would ever thought that Celia would turn out to be a sit by the fire? I mean, she still likes a good time. I mean, who would ever thought that Celia would turn out to be a sit by the fire. I mean, she still likes a good time, but her home and the kiddies come first.
Well.
Wifehood and motherhood have given her, well, you know, a kind of a pose. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, here she comes now. This is Mr. Bartlett, sweetheart. Mr. Bartlett meets Mrs. Gregg.
I'm so pleased.
How do you do?
Mr. Bartlett is with that magazine, Mankind. He's going to write me up. I mean us.
No, you mean you. The public isn't interested in great men's wives. Oh, and I've been out of the limelight so long, nobody remembers me. I'm no longer an artist, merely a happy wife and mother.
Well, it takes an artist to be that, Mrs. Gregg.
Beg pardon, sir. The drink, sir.
Oh, yes. Put them down, Ford.
Yes, sir.
Say, listen, sweetheart. One of the servants has been helping himself to this bourbon. I mean, it was a full bottle last night. Now, who do you suppose has been at it?
How do I know, sweetheart? Maybe the grocery man or the ice man or somebody.
But you and I and Forbes are the only ones that have a key. I mean, it was locked up.
Maybe you forgot to lock it.
Oh, I never do. Well, anyway, Bartlett, here's how.
Here's how. Well, doesn't Mrs. Gregg indulge?
No, only a cocktail before dinner.
Oh, I see.
Lewis, yes. Well, I don't like whiskey much anyway.
Oh, I don't object to your drinking whiskey, sweetheart. I just object to your drinking to excess. I think it coarsens a woman to drink. I mean, I think it makes him coarse.
Well, certainly is smooth stuff.
Lou, dear, have you forgotten your appointment with Mr. Layton this evening?
Gosh, I did forget all about him. That's terrible. You see, Bartlett, I made a date with this theater owner, and he's going back east tomorrow. But I'll phone him and call it off. I mean, you come first.
Oh, no, don't do that on my account, Mr. Gregg. I can see you some other time at your office. Well,
I don't see how you can call it off, darling. Not if you want his theater to book your pictures anymore. Now, I'll entertain Mr. Bartlett as best I can and give him all the information he needs for his interview. After all, sweetheart, your home life speaks for itself without you even saying a word. So you just run along, sweetheart. I'm sure Mr. Bartlett understands.
Oh, of course, certainly.
So, well, then, good night, Bartlett.
Good night,
Mr. I'm awfully sorry about this.
Oh,
I sure am. But I'll see you soon. Lord, I'm late now. I'll have to run. Good night, sweetheart. You'll get a ring for me later. I mean, I'll call you up.
Poor Lou, always rushing off somewhere. Well, Mr. Bartlett, what do you think of our lovely?
Well, it's magnificent.
Is that really such wonderful whiskey, Mr. Bartlett?
Oh, yes, indeed.
You know, I think I'll just take a sip of it and see what it's like. It can't hurt me if it's so good, can it?
I don't believe so.
Well, then I'm going to taste it. And if it hurts me, it's your fault, Mr. Bartlett.
Oh, no.
Now, what is it you men say? Here's how?
Yes, here's how.
It is good, isn't it? You know, I feel like I wasn't being a good hostess to let you drink alone. I think I'll join you in just one more sip. A little wee sip. Here.
No. That's hardly a sip for me, Mrs. Gregg. No, please.
Down the hatch.
Okay, down the hatch.
Say, let's have some music.
All right.
See this phonograph, Bartlett?
Yeah.
Cost $2,000.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Let's dance. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Mrs. Gregg. I don't dance.
Okay. See, the trouble with you, Mr. now, isn't that a scream? I can't think of your name.
Bartlett.
Oh, yeah. The trouble with you, Barker. You know what's the trouble with you?
No.
You're too sober.
What?
Yeah, you're too rough and sober. That's the whole trouble, see? You know, if you weren't so sober, we'd be better off. See? See, what I can't understand is how you can be so sober and be so high.
Well, you're not used to it, Mrs. Gregg.
Not used to it? Where do you think that other half bottle went?
What?
Say, I'm like this half the time, see? If I wasn't, I'd die.
What does your husband say?
He don't say, because he don't know. You see, Barbara? You know, there's nights when he's out and nights when I pretend to be sleepy and go upstairs. But I don't go to bed. See? I have a little party all by myself. If I didn't, I'd die. Say, Porter, you weren't dumb enough to fall for all that applesauce about the happy home and the contented wife, were you?
Well, I did...
Listen, boy, I'd give anything in the world to be out of this mess and never see that baboon again. How about another, Baker? Skull.
Look, Mrs. Gregg, don't you love him anymore, and doesn't he love you?
Huh?
Love? Say, that's a laugh. I never did love him. And all his love is for himself. Well, I was a kid, an ambitious kid. And he got stuck on me, and I thought he'd make me a star. Well, I married him to get myself a chance, and, well, now look at me.
I'd say you were fairly well off.
Well off, am I? I changed places with the scum of the earth just to be free. Why, I could have been a star without any help if I'd only realized it. I had the looks, yeah, and I had the talent. I could have got myself anything. And look what I did get. Huh. I thought he'd make me. You see, Barbara? Well, he's made me all right. He's made me his property. Something to show off with his home and his cars and his horses. Just to show off, you see? And like that big diamond he wears in his fat paw, Barbara. You see? You're going back to your magazine. You write about our love nest, Barbara. You go ahead. Here. Here's to Luke Blake and his love nest. It's mud in your eye, Barbara. Well, have you got enough for your story? Have you? Have you? Have you? Hello? Yes, sweetheart. Yes? He's just leaving. Yes, sweetheart, I told him everything. Yes, sweetheart. Yes, sweetheart.
Another one of the aspiring, or I might say, perspiring Connecticut Yankees, Sammy Deal, our first saxophonist, who is a bit of a composer as well as a fine arranger, has presented us with a tune that gives the debutante trio their chance again. The title, You've Got Class. Missed our dedication of this composition, affectionately written for and dedicated to him, due to the fact that at the hour of 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, he was up in the mountains of California, far from a radio. This time, however, the radio in his dressing room in Chicago is definitely tuned in, and so, Eddie, for your specific approval, my co-writer, Rosamund Johnson, and I offer you just an old banjo without any strings. Thank you. just an old banjo without any strings, and I love it so for the memories it brings. Just an old banjo that wakes up and sings songs of long ago that I know. It seems to me that ghost-like thing that dreams and lingers on my old banjo, and oh, how it rings, just an old banjo without any and Benny Fields. Lou offers tonight a drama of early American life based on the legend of Pocahontas and Captain John Smith. Very high class, Lou assures you. Mr. Lou Holtz is Chief Itsy Fitsy, father of Pocahontas.
Me big Chief Itsy Fitsy. I'm crazy for you, my friend.
Wait. Before we start the sketch, I know that you all like to hear about things that go on backstage, huh? You do, don't you? Rudy, do you mind if I tell the little incident that happened with the actors at one of the jobs?
No, thank you so much.
Now I want you to believe this. There was a part of an Indian part that has since been eliminated from the sketch. And Rudy and I, we called up an agency for a legitimate actor. And they sent some man over. He came in. He looked like he hadn't worked in weeks. He had on spats and no socks. And anyway, he came in. He said, I understand you advertised. Oh, he looked terribly shabby. Poor fellow hadn't worked too much. He said, I understand that you advertised for an actor to play an Indian. And we said, yes. That is, Rudy said, yes. We want to get an actor to play an Indian. He said, how much is the stipend? And stipend, that means salary. So Rudy says, well, it's only a small Indian part, and all the pay is $50 a week. This fellow says, well, he says, I always get me 100, you know, always me 100. Rudy said, I'm very sorry. It's a small Indian part, and all it pays is $50 a week. Fellow says, I've got to have 100. So Rudy said, well, it pays 50, as I said before. You can take it or leave it. And the fellow said, very well. He says, I'll take it, but I'll play a half-breed. And now for the drama. As the curtain rises, Big Chief Itsy Pitsy, that's me, Big Chief Itsy Pitsy is talking to the entire tribe. He's gathered in a circle around the council fire, and he says, listen to me, my friend.
My scouts are reporting to me that there is landing on this island around 42nd Street. You understand me? A bunch of pale faces. And leading them is a guy by the name of Captain John Smith. That means in plain English, war. W-O-R-E, war.
Hallelujah!
Yeah, man.
My friends, we've got to stick together shoulder with foot, throw with con, bacon with egg. And look at the whole cockeyed world in the face and say, hello, cockeye. Yeah, man. Now, my brave fellows, ram back your squawks, you understand me? Ram back your squawks and little cabooses and wait for my signal.
Well, Papa, kid, how's the old buzzard?
Well, if it ain't my own little daughter, little Pocahontas. Hello there, you pretty little pizza. Where's you old Gwen?
I was on my way to your wigwam, short and sucking. I'd like to chew the fat with you.
You want to chew the fat with your old pappy? Concerning a matter of what, if you'll be so kindly?
Concerning my love for your soul muscle of the Black Sea tribe.
Just so muscle, eh? Listen, horny. I don't like that sizzler.
You'll pardon my southern accent, but you all is breaking my heart.
Well, I can pardon your accent, but I could never forgive that role. How come you all are in love with Yossel Mossel? Why don't you fall in love with one of our boys? For instance, why don't you fall in love with Ray in the Face? Or Water on the Knee? They're both members of this club.
No, 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 a thousand times no.
Who all is knocking on that old door, I reckon?
It is I, Captain John Smith.
Well, come into my wigwam, Smitty, and shut the door.
Chief Itsy Pitsy, I presume.
Beg your pardon?
I say Chief Itsy Pitsy, I presume.
I beg your pardon, but are you English?
Oh, quite, quite.
Really English?
Really.
Are you now? Well, you know, I lived in England for 5 years before I was an Indian. Tell me, dear boy, tell me, what are you doing on my island?
I came here upon orders from Sir Walter Raleigh.
From Sir Walter Raleigh? You know, Walter, a very dear friend of mine, you know, we used to play a bit of pinochle together.
Really, are you friendly?
Walter Raleigh and I? Why, Walter Raleigh's family, my family, have been friendly for the past 5 decades. My family's been decaying for some time.
Daddy, who is this funny-looking man with the muff on his face?
Why, that ain't a muff, mine horny. Why, that's a muff.
Well, this happens to be a beard.
It may happen to be a beard to you, but to me, it's still a muff. Listen, horny, mine Pocahontas, mine horny, I want you to keep an eye on Captain John Smith, you understand me? I have to go down to the drugstore. I want to see who all won the Detroit race.
Hello, Big Star. So my name is Sister Pocahontas. What's yours?
Captain John Smith.
Is that so? Listen, Johnny, do you think you could learn to care for me?
Well, I hardly know you, and besides, I hate your father.
Well, that's fine. He hates you, too. Now we can get married.
Hold on, kiddies. How are you, my friend?
Very well indeed, sir.
See here, Captain Smith, I would like to ask you a question. Like to ask you a question? How would you like to be knocked off, with a tomahawk or with a flame-borne arrow?
Well, if it's all the same to you, sir, I would like to die of old age.
Of old age? Of old age will bless your heart, so would I.
I love the Captain, Daddy. I love him with all my heart and soul. My love for Yossel Muscle is as dead as your pan.
My daughter says the sweetest thing. Well, thank you, sweetie pie. I think I'll sit down, horny. You know, old rocking chair's got me.
Park it right here, Pappy.
So you and old Captain Smithy, you want to get fetched up, eh? My sweet potato?
Yeah, shut it, kid.
Well, come here. Come here, kitty.
Kitty, come here.
Hold hands. I said hold hands. Listen, Tootsie, you're holding his beard.
Well, I just saw a pigeon fly in there. I'm trying to catch it.
Well, a bird in your hand is worth two in his beard.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
Mr. Smith, we have an old Indian costume. When a man marries a girl in our tribe, that is the Itkifiti, the father is giving the husband $5,000. So I herewith am writing you out a check, you understand me? Here is a check for $5,000 on the banks of the Wabash.
Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, Daddy, Daddy, you've made me so happy. I'm crazy for you.
Oh, they got me.
It was just a muscle.
Good boy, the double crosser. He flipped it over on me, eh? I'm dying, Porky. Listen, Porky, I'm dying. I've only got a few minutes to go.
Oh, Porky, Porky, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Porky Hansen, you're the only thing I haven't worried.
Oh.
Yes, Miss Smith, you're going to marry her. So I consider you my son. Such being the case, Captain Smith, I want you to try hard.
Yes.
Try hard.
Yes.
Try hard to cash that check.
Fleischman Beast Hour brings you another full hour of variety and personality. Between now and then, the Connecticut Yankees will be enjoying their annual vacation in Maine at Rudy Valley's Summer Lodge as guests of their leader. Rudy has left the studio and is already on his way to board the State of Maine Express. The makers of Fleischman's Yeast were, of course, among the first to sign the president's re-employment agreement. Okay, gentlemen, school is over and vacation starts in 5 seconds. On your mark, get set, and go! Fleischman Hour has come to you from the National Broadcasting Company.